You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to Monday's edition of the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. I am your host, Tony Anderson, and on this occasion, no fun, no games, no nicknames. I'm joined by Joel Skead.
Hello.
And Ewan Taylor.
Hi, Tony.
Hello, hello. We're having some slight technical problems, so we're just going to be doing a 40-minute straight in here. No mucking about, no frills, much like the Scottish Cup in general. And with that, we're doing winners and losers. So I'm coming to Joel Skead to ask him for his first winner.
My first winner, and it has to be proper Scottish Cup ties. I have to talk about Rangers Park Thistle because I was covering the game yesterday and or on Sunday, and I was pitching up at Ibrox thinking, well, this is going to be a straightforward 3-0 win to Rangers, and then just easy Jose get down the road. And it turned into a brilliant cup tie. Thistle were brilliant. Rangers were shit. And then there was so much controversy, so much drama. It just turned into a really, really fun, captivating game. And the best aspect about it was the boos from the Rangers fans when they allowed Partick Thistle to score. I have not heard a cacophony like it. It was superb.
Ewan. Let's hear from a Rangers fan's sort of perspective here. How angry were you when they allowed them to score the goal?
Furious. No, I wasn't, because I thought it was the right thing to do.
Oh God! Here we go.
Right off the Beale script.
I know. Yeah, right off the Beale script. But I just thought, like, to be honest, when it happened, I wasn't 100% paying attention, and I thought that the way that Tillman had scored the goal had wound up, because he sort of did take the piss a wee bit by like skinning loads of players. So I thought that's what the Thistle players were so annoyed at, and so I was raging at that. And I do wonder if some of the crowd maybe initially thought that, like, you know, that just hadn't quite followed that the ball had gone out, because I wasn't 100% paying attention, So initially I was raging at that, and then when I realised what had happened, which obviously became quite obvious when all the discussions were going, I thought, well, I mean, lads, it's Partick Thistle. We're going to beat them anyway. That was my position. You know, and it felt, I mean, just maybe there's not enough hubris in the rest of the Rangers support, but I just thought, well, it's Partick Thistle. Now,
you looked at this as an opportunity to be sound. You just think you can maybe change 100-odd years of Rangers and just letting Partick Thistle score a goal at one time.
We are the good guys of Scottish football, as proven.
The biggest disappointment for the whole weekend was Alan McGregor not stopping Tiffany, because it would have been fascinating to see what would have happened if he just slid in and picked the ball up. What the Rangers players would have done, what Beal would have done, just all 10 outfield players kind of looking across to Beal thinking, are you going to tell him are we going to have to go and tell him to just give this all the ball back?
Joel, yeah, there's a...
Joel, you've got... There's also this idea that Alan McGregor's 41. He clearly didn't want to do it. This is a guy, obviously, that's got anger management issues anyway. And you can see by his behaviour that he obviously really didn't want to do it. And he really didn't want to get involved. This is like last chance to add to your legacy.
Yes.
It would have been... The Rangers fans would have celebrated wildly, I think, if he'd just smashed the ball away from Tiffany's feet. What can Beal really do? Sub him off? He fucking subs him off every week anyway. They rotate the goalies anyway. So it doesn't make a fucking difference. It would go down as legendary stuff.
There would have been calls for an extended four-year deal contract if he did that. Not only did he produce a brilliant save, he would have been lauded by the Ibrox report.
I think he'd have been player manager. That's what would have happened. I think Beal would have had to resign and Alan McGregor player manager if that had happened. I think he was joking, but he obviously was raging, but he was joking. But he was maybe a wee bit serious as well. But I think he was joking, mainly joking.
Just before we move on, obviously, with the game, some winners at Partick Thistle. How impressive was the Partick Thistle performance there?
The first half was terrific, really, really good across the piece. They were very good, but specifically the first half, just because we set up in a 5-3-2 system, but Lee Hodgson was playing centre midfield, Tony, and he was just knocking the ball. Knocking the ball about for fun, but it wasn't a like defensive performance. Yes, at the back five, but they engaged Rangers higher up the pitch. They made it really difficult for Tillman and Hadji and Cantwell. Both were subbed at half time, but they also got forward and supported Brian Graham. They would go long to him, and they would have Kyle Turner and Scott Tiffany get the ball. And then when they were in the final third, They would pass it around with them. They were really composed. It was a really impressive performance, at complete odds to Rangers, who delivered their worst 45 minutes under Beal.
Yeah, hopeless. I mean, and like the penalty that Thistle got, I mean, I think it is a penalty, probably in the rules. It shouldn't be a penalty, really, but it is. But that's the sort of penalty that, you know, obviously you only get with VAR, but it's actually... It's one of these VAR penalties that you get because of the pressure that you've put the other team under a wee bit, and Thistle had, like, you know, this spell about 5 minutes where they're actually like all over Rangers, and that's how eventually they get the penalty, because you obviously increase your chances of getting a sort of random lottery penalty like that if you are in the opposition box a lot, and the ball's pinging around in there. So yeah, I mean, it was one of those where it was sort of a out of nowhere penalty, but at the same time, it had come from a good spell of pressure from Thistle.
And it really
was just to reiterate, just to reiterate, Tony, Lee Hodgson was playing midfield and dominating in the half against Rangers.
And so you've running the show. We've got Lee Hodgson running the show. You've shown me about the three pronged attack for part of this, so it's causing them loads of bother. But then Ian McCall's getting sacked after the game because. The way you're talking here, that team's obviously been seriously underperforming then, if they're able to do this at Ibrox, but then they've got back-to-back defeats against Cove Rangers, and they got beat by someone else, did they not, recently?
Hamilton
Accies, yeah. So, I mean, maybe the timing was weird for McCall, but it doesn't sound like to me that it was something that the fans are against.
No. I think the general consensus is that the fans were bemused by the timing, but they were very happy with what McCall done for the club, coming back, taking them back into the Championship, giving them a steady base. But their promotion push has stalled, and in recent weeks they've looked well off it, completely different to the performance at Rangers, which were their best in a number of weeks. So yeah, it was. As Thistle board came out and said today, I think it was, or yesterday, it was a decision that was probably taken a while ago, but only decided after they put in a brilliant performance at Ibrox.
Right, Ewan, give me a loser from the Scottish Cup this weekend.
Well, I suppose the biggest loser of the, other than Ian McCall, who's probably a slightly unfortunate loser, at least for this weekend, probably have to say. But I was going to say Stevie Hamill, but I think I'd actually say Liam Kelly. Liam Kelly. What a disastrous performance for Kelly against Wraith at the weekend. Almost beat, I mean, he was the difference between the sides, ultimately, when he chucked two goals in. And not Motherwell out of the cup. I mean, yeah, Scotland's next number one. The answer to Scotland's goalkeeping problems is already in the squad, we were told. He is nowhere near it. And he's actually, I mean, he should be, you'd expect in many ways, you know, a keeper, at least of Kelly's reputation, to be playing in a team as bad as Motherwell are, that he would actually look really quite good most weeks. And he's not. I mean, he's one of the reasons they're in the trouble that they're in, and he proved that again at the weekend. And yeah, I mean, obviously Wraith were excellent, but yeah, Motherwell were just a typical Motherwell performance, and it was one of those. I mean, it was going to be more of a shock if there wasn't a shock in that game. You went into it thinking almost the same actually with our growth in the previous round, and it was maybe a wee bit of a surprise how sort of comfortable Motherwell were in that game, but. But this time, you were expecting it, and you know, the way it panned out was pretty predictable.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But Motherwell were just an absolute car crash. Hamilton had to make a triple sub at half time, which is never good. He started with Callum Butcher, who was meant to be the saviour to Motherwell's problems at centre mid. He started him at centre back alongside Dan Casey, who in two moments in the whole game summed up the current disarray amongst the Thistle team, in that he was going to clear a ball from a corner, clear it across, but he didn't tell Callum Slattery was behind him. And then in the second half, he cleared the ball into the railway stand and then was too busy talking to another Motherwell teammate when Rafe Rovers did a quick throw over his head and created the chance. It was just, they're just all over the place. But yeah, you could pick out Butcher, you could pick out Casey, but yeah, kind of on what Ewan said, it's the senior players for Motherwell, two most senior probably, Liam Kelly, and then you've got Stephen O'Donnell, my word, from what, 2 years ago, running, or 18 months ago maybe, kicking Jack Grealish up the arse to then backing off Jamie Gullen. Who was one-on-one with him, backing off into the box so that he didn't have to tackle. It was just a really, really poor performance. And you count Stevie Hamill as a loser just because it's been an absolute disaster over the last few months. But I think the big winner out of all this might be Motherwell, that they've got rid of their manager and they might have a chance now of saving themselves from relegation. But going by what they have signed, what they have built, what they have done, they are heading for the championship.
Right. I think that's pretty conclusive, Mr. Sked. I'll stick with you. And let's have another winner, eh?
I just, well, we may as well stick with the Wraith game. And I would like to pick out Dylan Easton. I think it's probably his most complete performance, or his the performance at the most high standard, considering up against Premiership opposition, albeit the opposition weren't that great.
Albeit the opposition plays like a League One team.
Yeah, that's true. Which and in League One he tore it up last season, but no, he was Dylan Easton.
He's found a lot of form recently as well, hasn't yes. he? He's been really, really kicking on.
Yeah, he absolutely has, and he's one of those players that when he just finds that rhythm and confidence, he is a joy to watch, as he was against Motherwell. Found a freedom. He almost scored an absolute screamer in the first half, and then he had that moment in the second half where he nutmegged. Who did he? I think it was Ross Tierney. Maybe might get my player Motherwell players mixed up. But I think he nutmegged Ross Tierney, and the roar from the Raith Rovers fan was incredible. And he also set up Isma Gonçalves for the third goal as well. So he was just involved in everything, and it was great to see after his influence with Airdrie that he's becoming such a influential player for Raith as well.
Right. Ewan, let's. I came to you for a lose the last time, so let's stick with the theme. Like, give me a winner. Give me another winner.
Another winner. I thought maybe Billy McKay. I mean, what a couple of finishes that was. I mean, I think Shamal George is maybe the best goalkeeper in the league this season, you could argue. I think statistically is. Absolutely no chance with all three Cali Thistle goals. I mean, they're almost like ridiculously perfect finishes, all of them. The first one, McKay just takes it so early. I think that he's just not expecting it. It goes right into the corner anyway. And Wilshere's header, that's off the inside of the post, and then McKay's third one is just ridiculous. The way he reverses it into the into the side netting. I don't really know where that came from. That's not the Billy McKay that I. Remember, but fair play. It's a fantastic performance.
And seven goals in 8 games for Billy McKay now. Is he not getting near the century goals for Inverness now?
I'll just check. But I think it's okay, maybe not the Billy McKay that you remember of in terms of scoring.
The relegating Billy McKay, the relegator era. He was obviously a good player before that, but
he was a fucking brilliant striker. Like when he's in his first spell at Inverness, he would often play up play that role, lone striker role. At the top, he scored back to back Premiership seasons. He scored 27 and then 22 goals.
Wow!
To answer your question, Tony, he is on. I think it's 88 for Inverness. 92, sorry. I think it's 92. Oh. 92 or 93.
I had a feeling I'd seen that somewhere. Like, that'll be absolutely unbelievable if there's a player who scores like a century goals for Inverness, considering they've been a yo-yo club over last year. So they've played plenty of football in the top flight. And as you said, Billy McKay's went away. It didn't always work out for him when he's not been at Inverness, but he's like... it's lovely to see him there because he was one of my favourites. Mm-hmm. Joe, when me and you first started doing the podcast, when Billy McKay came in, he was always great. And even that performance in the cup final, even though they lost against Aberdeen, still one of my favourites because you never think he'd be a lone striker.
No.
But he was really, really, he's always been really, really good at it. And it is just delightful. And that result was I know Livingston have had the absolute woeful cup form and they've not been to the quarters since 2005 or something. But I mean, you and me and you were sitting talking about them, I think maybe last week, saying they can pick any players they want and it doesn't matter. Yeah. And now they've brought Big Obalai back in and he seemed to be from centre half having like an ongoing battle with the Inverness goalkeeper for shots. But I was shocked at the result, I'll be honest.
In terms of McKay, is that it would be sad for him to be remembered as Billy McKay the relegator, considering what he's done for Inverness, considering how good a striker he was, and how important he was for their kind of journey and the Premiership and the way they stayed there and were a competitive team in the top six. So yeah, he kind of rolled back the years, probably scored from further out than he used to. Iwobelai and Jack Fitzwater did not have a good game. They were posted missing a couple of times. It was just a really, we watched the goals, it was just really
bizarre.
passive.
That's Sean Welsh one. I was having a drink in my house, and I flicked over, and I was pretty drunk, but I was totally wild. That shook me up seeing Sean Welsh when I was watching the. I was with Mandy, and I was just watching the highlights, and I had to rewatch them again before we came on because I didn't remember them well. But that was one that I didn't strike my mind. Why is he come forward in open play and everyone just completely ignores him? Because there's three Livingston players in the box, and none of them anywhere near him. It just shows the confidence that was going through the Inverness team at that point. And the boys who made the trip up, that little young team, that they looked like they were having the time of their lives when they were celebrating and fair play. But what Livingston, maybe they'll never make the quarterfinals of a cup ever again. And they'll purely be, you're going to be top six, and that'll be the best you'll ever get.
Yes, this was their time, and they've made a mistake.
The draw's opened up as well. There's enough lower league teams here that you can really hit a semi. Anyone could really hit a semi or a final here.
Absolutely.
If they get a bit of luck. So I think Martindale will be really, really frustrated with that, because again, you could really top off a season. Livingston could easily finish fifth in a Scottish Cup semi-final or a Scottish Cup final, and that's really, really hitting sort of like the peak of what they could possibly achieve. So it's a massively missed opportunity. But you and I'll stick with you. Give me give me a loser.
I'll give you your favourite loser in the Scottish football this season, Mark Berigetti.
Oh, yes. Now we're talking.
Your special subject. He ends up facing the wrong direction as he's trying to punch a ball at safety. It's again, that's, you know, Kilmarnock, I really think they can only score that kind of goal, which is an Armstrong cross into the box, and one of the big lumps manages to knock into the net, whether that be one of the centre forward lumps or one of the centre half lumps, you know, that's pretty much it. That's the only lumpy way they can score. Yeah, and they've managed to concede again. It looked like the balance of play, well, Dundee United maybe had a decent enough wee spell just at the start of the second half, but otherwise hadn't really done anything, and then they could just concede a goal. Kelly didn't have to do that much else to win the game. But
it was a really, 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 really poor game. Yeah, I was drifting in and out of it. It was one of those games, you know, you just can't concentrate, you can't stick with it because it's just too bad. When you're hitting, it was half an hour till anything happened, and that's just impossible if you're sitting by yourself. I'm going to play on my phone, is what I'm going to do, and I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but a midfield two of Blair Alston and Brad Lyons is not how you'd want to spend your Saturday afternoon. And even worse for Dundee United fans who paid their money to spend their afternoon to watch Brad Lyons and Blair Alston be in a winning side against their shit Dundee United side.
We had this really small period with Berigetti there, which I remember I was close. I was very close to going on the television. I was seconds away. I had it written down to go and do a little section on Mark Berigetti, because while the show was off, he had really good form, but then he dropped a clanger straight away in the game just before we went on air, and I was delighted that I never made the mistake, because then since then, obviously the Celtic game was where he gets himself all in a tangle, and now he's back again, and it just. If they go down Dundee United, not replacing Berigetti will be there's a lot of things going on there, but that would be the simplest way not to go down, would have been signing pretty much any other goalkeeper.
If you've got a team with it, just sort of that sort of fragile confidence, and that has a lot of off days, the performance probably less than some of his parts, at least going forward. You cannot have a guy that just chucks one in most weeks in goals. Because that's how you lose games, and that's what they've got. It's just, it's a joke that they've not replaced Berigetti. And in fact, you got rid of his only competition, who was probably worse than, right enough, than Eriksson. But it's a remarkable blind spot that they've had. I mean, you don't know what's happened in January, because obviously they only signed the boy Aina, who looks terrible as well. He was trying to get sent off to me. I thought both of his yellow cards were they weren't, but they were almost reds. I thought both.
No,
of them.
The second one was just a nothing. It was late. It was a yellow. It's a red card. It's a foul that Rangers fans want a red card when it happens against Ryan Kent.
I do. And but it was just, it was so intentional. And it's like, but you're on, it's almost like a red card for stupidity. Should have just been a straight red, because like, you're on a yellow card, mate. You can't just boot somebody, even if it's not with that much force. So no, it wasn't a red card, but it was just like, it was such a yellow card that it was almost red. But yeah, he does not look like he can play professional football yet. At least, and that's a concern from your only January signing. So yeah, there. I mean, I don't know if there's a goalkeeper, maybe free agent that they could sign. I mean, they need to do something with the goalkeeping situation, I think. And if they're just letting it linger, then I think there's every chance. At the moment, you would say, I think you'd say Dundee United will be second bottom, bottom.
The biggest issue with Dundee United is the fact that the goalkeeping issue is not their biggest problem. I would argue their defence, the lack of defensive midfielder, and the lack of striking depth, and having Liam Fox in the dugout are equally, or if not worse, worse issues.
Because Fox is starting to look, it's starting to look worse for Fox, because he got a little boost with them and they had a bit of form, and now they look. So everyone thought that he was out of his depth, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, maybe he's getting something out of these guys. And then it's just totally, totally falling apart. And I think I get where Ewan's coming from, is that it's really getting hard to think that it's not just going to be Dundee United and Motherwell. And it just seems so ridiculous that those two teams in a league of shit, just like last season, that teams of that size can't manage to put a squad together to stay in this league. Just seems absolutely bizarre. Because
just 11 competent players.
Aye, because like Kilmarnock, that team's like the Kilmarnock squad's the worst. That is like it's the least talent in it. But they're able to like at least just, as you had said, at least they've got something. They can create a goal through something, and then they can remain solid and they can be rigid, and it's not going to be pretty, but they can do that. You can't even just get some sort of competence from Motherwell and Dundee United. So fuck them. Unlucky. Next team. Joel, give me a winner.
A winner. We may as well just do this quickly. I thought winner was Kelly's squad. Derek McInnes changed it. He made some surprising changes. Looking at it, I mentioned Brad Lyons and Blair Alston. He put Liam Polworth and Polworth, Donnelly, Power. Donnelly and Polworth have been decent as a partnership recently. They were on the bench, and Ash Taylor wasn't playing, but they were competent enough. Vassell looks, I mean, not the greatest striker, but a handful.
Mobile than Deutsch, obviously.
Yes, Tony, I think I could shoot you in both your legs and you'd be more mobile than Deutsch. But no, it kind of just goes back to what you said. So they don't have a great squad, but McInnes is probably extracting the most out of it, helped by the Danny Armstrong having the season of his life, and getting to two semi-finals, and if they stay up, that's a really, really good season.
Unbelievable with that group of players. Yeah. Absolutely, like, dumbfounded.
I was looking at the out of contract players. I think they've got two first team players signed up for next season. So it's like so key for McInnes to keep Kelly in the league, and then they can get to the summer and they can just have a massive clear out and just go, right, let's fucking start again and build a
God, a team of Brits, an absolute Brexit team that he'll build first off. But I suppose he'll
that. The Scottish Sean Dyche.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You and loser.
Loser. John Beaton in the Aaron Elgin game. I mean, I'm always slightly reluctant to criticise a referee when there aren't really good camera angles of a decision, and they might have had a better view than the camera shows, but I'm just going to do it in this case anyway. I don't think I was ever a penalty for Ayers' second goal, which that ended the game as a contest. You couldn't see any fill there, and Akinyemi just sort of goes down. Apparently Ross Draper, who gave it away, was saying in the press journal that the far side assistant told him that he didn't think it was a penalty, and he would have probably had a better view than the
speak
beating.
Up, please.
Yeah, exactly. You could have said that to, to the referee. Anyway,
I mean, if Ross Draper is shouting at me, I am telling him anything he wants to hear.
So there could have been an element of that. But yeah, I mean, pretty harsh on Elgin, who I think, well, our very own Duncan McKay was at the game, and he was certainly of the view that Elgin should have won it in normal time, and I think that was sort of borne out by the highlights. Kane Hester could score exceptionally well. That was a really good old fashioned cup tie goal. That,
yes,
goalkeeper puts up, flick on header, wee striker runs on and scores. Lovely. So that was great. But I think Darren McCarty had a really good. Well, it was a decent enough shot he got away in the end, but he really could have squared it to Hester at one point in the second half, and that might have been game over. But yeah, it looked like it was sort of a fitness thing ultimately, probably as the game went into extra time. Obviously, Eric was just at the right of the end, and it was just once the sort of dodgy penalty was given, Eric just sort of ran away with it, and Akinyemi sort of turned on the slow at that point, but yeah, it didn't look like Ayer played all that well, but yeah, I think is a Falkirk here in the next round, I think I'm right to say.
Yep.
Yeah, so I mean, what a chance that is for one of those teams to get to the semi-final. It's remarkable, but the way the draws worked out, but yeah, Ayer maybe don't on the basis of that performance probably don't deserve to be a Scottish Cup semi-finalist, but they've got every chance now, you would think.
I mean, Inverness have got a great chance to get into a Cup semi-final, and they certainly don't deserve it. They shouldn't even be in it.
Yes, indeed. It could be a good pop quiz question at some point. Who was the first team to win the Scottish Cup while losing a game? I presume that would be Cardiff Thistle in this season if that was to happen. But no, it's yeah, they were very unfortunate, I think, over the piece, Elgin.
Joel, give me a winner from the Hearts game. It's Hearts that you want to tell me. Go.
I was actually going to give you a loser from the Hearts game, but okay, the winner.
Batter in. I thought there'd be some sort of positivity coming. I mean, you've been cock-a-hoop this year, Joel. So.
Yes, I know. I'll start on the negativity, just because it's more disappointment. Alan Forrest, he's gone. He's regressed somewhat. Mm-hmm. He was. I thought he was.
Or was it just a purple patch last season, Joel?
Potentially, he did really well in the championship with Ayr. He's made steps up League One, Championship, Premiership, and he's had spells. But I just thought he'd be a really productive player who'd suit us in the Premiership games where we had Europe. And he started off quite well. He did that. He was getting goals and he was getting assists. But recently, he just doesn't seem all that fancied. When it's hard. He's been getting cameos here and there, and it's been difficult for him to have an impact in the game. Even when he started, he's not had a strong influence. And then, perhaps loser, given to, calling him a loser in this game was a bit harsh, considering Robbie Nielsen brought him on at centre mid, because George Grant, who was our best player, it was one of his better performances in a Hearts shirt, was really encouraging. He helped us control the game against Aki, so you're expected to control the game, but he was the one who was helping control the game, but also getting the ball into the final third. He went off, and then Nielsen decided to bring, despite having Cammy Devlin and Keown, played Alan Forrest in centre midfield, and he was lost. So much so that it was like 5-10 minutes later, Nielsen was like, shit, I need to sort this. We lost all control of the game and had to bring Cammy Devlin on and move Forrest elsewhere. And it was shaping up to be one of the worst substitute appearances I can remember for Hearts. And then he played a key role in the second goal, so we can let him off, but no, it's been
let him off, but he's a loser, right? Okay.
it's been a disappointment in the last few months for Mr. Forrest, after an encouraging start and after being a signing I thought would be really a really smart piece of business.
Just always get that feeling the minute you sign someone from Livingston that it's just going to be shit. It doesn't matter what the context is, I don't care what their history is. When that signing was made by Hearts, I was like, he'll just be rubbish. And yeah, he is. make any sense.
I get that feeling when we sign anyone from a Scottish Premiership team, side who's done half decent.
Aye. It does. It always seems that because it's always what your fans want you to do, and it's fair. Don't get me wrong. I do think there's a jump in expectations, and I think how you're treated. So I think mentality is probably the big reason when people move from one of the smaller clubs in the league to Hibs, Hearts, and Aberdeen. It's just like whether we deserve it or not. I think there's an expectation of them to be sort of good right away, and if they're not, I feel like those groups of fans turn on them really, really quite fast, and then they wilt, and then they end up going back to wherever they came from on loan. Right, we've only got a couple of minutes left. So, Ewan, something from the Celtic game. What you can choose the angle here.
Well, I suppose it has to be positive for Celtic. Rio Hatate, best player in Scotland.
He is, yeah.
Came on and just showed that again, unfortunately. If we're going to find a negative angle, which why not? David Turnbull, is he just not going to make it at Celtic? I think he... I mean, it's probably the area of the team that there's most competition for at Celtic at the moment. Given guys like Sir Matt O'Reilly, as good as he is, can't get to the first 11 at the moment. I just don't think Turnbull suits Celtic under Postecoglou, and I wonder if it could be the outlasts Postecoglou, which I would love. I would love Postecoglou to disappear as soon as possible. But failing that, and Turnbull might, if the team was set up in a slightly different way, maybe would suit it. And I think he does have the ability to play for Celtic, but it's just he's having quite a few. I mean, he's still scoring goals, but that's pretty much all he's doing. And I think the play's breaking down a fair bit when he's got the ball. I do wonder if he is maybe not long for Celtic, but you're really clutching at straws to try and find any kind of negativity here in Celtic at the moment. I'll continue to clutch at those straws, but there's not much to go on. I suppose we're all getting. I mean, it's a very positive weekend for him. If Hashi is injured.
It's just their fucking depth.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Was it all five? Every sub came on, either scored or got an assist.
Yeah, so it was like Kyogo went off injured early on, and they bring Leal Abad on, and I think Abad is a brilliant player. I can understand why Postecoglou is so keen to play Maeda, and Maeda has his qualities, but I just think Abad is so productive, so efficient. You see him come on. I think he got two assists. Maybe he scores. He creates chances, and when you're bringing him off the bench, and then you've got your new £X million striker coming off the bench and scoring. You've got Rio Hatate and Matt O'Reilly coming off the bench. Even if Celtic didn't play well over the piece, it's just mental.
What chance you got if you're submitting in? You think you're doing well, your game plan's working, you've got an hour into the match, and then you turn around and then it's like, oh, they're now bringing on all the better players.
It's so demoralising.
Do you go from there? And then they're so fresh, they can get in your face right away. They'll be keen to play for half an hour. And it has just got to the stage now where it's, I don't care to say it, it just doesn't feel fair. That's credit to Celtic that they managed to get to the stage where it just doesn't. I don't look at their team sheet before in Hibs. I don't look to see who they've got in injuries because it doesn't fucking matter. I'm not going to get excited by it. And if Postecoglou ever tried to tell me that he picks players based on the type of game they're going to play in our managers when they rotate, or I pick the 11 for this specific game, he doesn't. He just fucking picks them at random. He makes changes at random because he completely can. And I'm not. That's not a criticism. I just say you'll never have to think, would maybe Abad be a better bet against St Mirren, or should I go with it? Doesn't fucking matter, mate. You're going to win comfortably.
It's the fact they've got rid of all the players who you think if they did make loads of changes and they're playing against you, like Ediguchi and Ayeti and Soro, those type of players. Like, oh, if they're playing, we might have a chance. Nah.
They're all fuck gone. You. They're all gone, Ewan. So there's going to be a long way back for Ediguchi's Rangers in any competition. All right. But I think we've covered every match there. Have
we done that? Falkirk. We stayed to watch Falkirk and we didn't.
Oh, for crying out loud.
They were brilliant.
Keep it going. Right. Okay. What was good? What was good, Joe? Go.
I really enjoyed their attack and play. They were really dangerous on the break. They were really enjoyable to watch. Really fluid. Nesbitt
Henderson. Brilliant.
Right. Henderson as well, like Morrison and Kennedy just running the defenders, the way they open up space and exploit it. They're really good. I've watched them this season already against Partick Thistle in the flesh, and it was one of the most enjoyable performances I've seen from a team. And they're just, when they click, they're just such a good team to watch under McGlynn.
The counter attacking was unreal there. It really was. Yeah. They were ruthless, and they could have won by more.
And then when you think about it, that the Falkirk performance against Darvel, yes, Darvel six tier and all that, but they, I think it showed the levels that they can reach and the problems that they can pose. And you think they're in a quarter final against Ayr United. Ayr United have not hit the heights of earlier in the season. Obviously struggled against Elgin, lost to Queen's Park recently. They're a wee bit further behind in the league. That this is a Falkirk team who are probably best set up to get into the Championship. Since the last 3 or 4 years, they've got a really good manager in there. They've got a lot of talent. They play with a lot of energy. And you think in that quarterfinal, they could play Ayr and easily get the success to get them into a Scottish Cup semi-final, which I know Falkirk aren't a popular team around Terrace Towers, but it's something that you'd imagine the Falkirk fans deserve after the shit they've had to go through on and off the field over the last few years.
I joined Ricky Foster at the end of the game because his Falkirk players were celebrating, and he was like, "Oh, this is a bit much." I'm like, "Well, they just made the Scottish Cup quarterfinals, man. As a league one team.
And a game where it was built up that there's only one team."
Yeah. And you can't have it both ways. You can't have everyone doing the, "Well, it's not that much of a fairy tale for Darvel if they beat Aberdeen because they signed some players that played in League One before." And then if Falkirk go and absolutely hump them 5-1, then tell everyone they need to calm down because they're playing a sixth-tier team. You can't fucking win. Everyone just wants to be miserable. But
Aberdeen are the biggest losers of this weekend, by the way. I mean, Aberdeen getting knocked out by sixth-tier Darvel, lest we forget. And they could have had Falkirk at home and then United. And then they would have been in a Scottish Cup semi-final. Despite being absolutely horrendous, they should have easily got the Scottish Cup semi-final. But sadly, they get beat by sixth-tier Darvel.
Just a complete tangent, just a very quick one. You said, "Lest we forget," you, and it reminded me, over the weekend, I saw someone who had a "Lest we forget" tattoo on their arse cheek.
Well, he's not going to forget anytime soon.
How'd you see that, Joe? How'd you see the man's arsehole?
It was the gym, and bent over. He was wearing shorts that were a wee bit, they didn't fit him properly.
We're really, really, really high shorts with a "Lest we forget." Wow, that is...
No, the shorts kept sliding down.
Oh. Well, at least he's losing weight late for the gym. "Lest we forget," that's the point of going to the gym. So, but I mean,
very
how much are you honouring the war dead if you have a tattoo on your arse?
Yeah, it does seem a bit of a cheek.
No pun intended.
The pun was very much intended.
Right, I think we'll stop it here. We've done a whistle top tour. But we do have Patreon going on. We're not actually going to do it, but Joel, you were talking to Mr. Thwillis about the sacking of Stevie Hamill, is it? Give us the gist. Entice us.
Yes, so basically I think it is around 35 minutes, of which I must speak for about 2 minutes, and it's 33 minutes of Graham getting a lot of stuff off his chest. It is up now on the Patreon. Graham talks. So can I ask him about how he's feeling about the decision, obviously losing a club, a legend, how it got to this position, what went wrong. Obviously Motherwell started pretty well under Stevie Hamill. Saw them up at Aberdeen earlier in the season and they were fantastic. They were fantastic against Hearts, yet lost 3-0. They beat Ross County 5-0. Ever since then, they have been absolutely humpty. So yeah, we kind of just pick apart all the poor decisions made by Motherwell over the last 12 to 18 months. And Or just no, just 12 months going back to Alexander, the recruitment, the appointment of Stevie Hamill. Yeah, so we delve into Motherwell and conclude by talking about their chances of survival. Graham still retains some hope. I don't.
Good. Good. Glad to hear there's still some hope, because that makes it sweeter when that evaporates. And the show and this show has now evaporated as well. And thank you so much for listening. Ewan, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Joel, say goodbye.
Adios.
There we go. That's not what I said, but okay. And there we go. All killer, no filler tonight. As some 41 once said, they also said your mum should have had an abortion. Good night.
Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.